is done that great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and he is mine. He drew me and I followed on, charmed to confess the Lord's divine. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away.
Let's mark our boats at number 671. 671 will be the song of invitation after our lesson. And once you've marked that, let's come to number 216. 216. And after this song, Travis, would you lead us in prayer? Thank you.
Here we are, the straying pilgrims, here our path is often dim. But to cheer us on our journey, still we sing this wayside hymn. Wander over the rolling river, where the shining mansions rise. Soon will be our home forever, and the smile of the blessed giver gladdens all our
I mentioned this morning that we would be involved in the next month of time or better with the idea of the specific commands of God to our Christian ministry and life and the generic principles of God. And I mentioned a couple of things this morning in regard to specific things that are said in regard to our giving situation. And I want to mention tonight a couple of things in regard to the generics about that. I mentioned today that although the Lord said through Paul that the brethren were to give upon the first day of the week as they had been prospered, And as they look at the prosperity on the way and assess that, there may be a growth that is involved in that as we do in life. But then there are other things in regard to the generic principles. We're to be people in that way of doing that assessment of analyzing ourselves. Look at that verse once again in 1 Corinthians 16. As I've given order to the churches of Galatia, this is a divine spiritual order to the brethren at Galatia and also the same there at Corinth now. As I've given order to the churches of Galatia, so do you. Upon the first day of the week, let each one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. There was a certain need that he had rehearsed to them, a need that was going to be there and it was going to be a terrible circumstance for some of the brethren far away. As a result of that, he called upon them as well as Macedonia to help that situation. The brethren of Macedonia came all out. They did the best that they could. He said that they gave out of deep poverty. In other words, they had the need to have that funds for themselves. But somehow or another, they could make it, and they could go, and they could do, and they gave out of deep poverty to the good needs of that they were told about. These brethren were given that as an example. And the brethren there at Corinth did such as they had been told that others had done. They gave as they had been prospered in regard, and I'm persuaded probably even beyond that. Because when you get over in the reading of 2 Corinthians in chapter 9, in reference to their work that they did and how they did it, he talks about how the brethren were so grateful for and how others were so grateful for. It went beyond just the brethren. How that there were others who were so thankful that the brethren there at Corinth had such a love for them and such a help for them in a time of great need for them. Because of that, they gave as they should. They gave in this way, and God was going to bless them abundantly in their future. The work of the Lord is a work that He has ongoing, and He watches the things that we do. He watches the spirit that we have within our heart as we do that gift. He watches the spirit as we look at the needs of others round about us and the circumstances that are there. As a result of that, help is generated, help is offered by God back to us along the way of our help of others along the way. When we talk about generic principles, we're talking about an assessment. When one is giving an idea based on what they know and how they can do and what they can do with, then that's their decision to make. It's not anyone else's decision to judge against or judge for. It's an idea that we each individually need to be aware of where we are in the presence of God. And the giving is to be done. Now, there are other things associated with it that are not that serious in regard to our paying attention. However, there are some things that we might do. In what kind of vessel was the bread and the fruit of the vine to be placed? Were those containers to be made out of wood or some precious metal of the time? Or today, some plastic in our time? Each one would be acceptable. Each one would be proper. It is not something that the Lord Himself determined that the person who was giving out of a gold bowl, for example, drinking the fruit of the vine, was any greater than the person who was drinking out of a piece of plastic. It's the element itself. It is the fruit of the vine. It is the instrument by which the Lord said, "Remember my blood shed for many for the remission of sins." And then to Paul later on in 1 Corinthians 11, he said, "The Lord told me in this regard." The night in which he was betrayed, he said about this, the Lord's Supper, "This is my body. This is my blood." And how he made reference to the brethren, even at Corinth, partaking of the Lord's Supper in that way. What kind of vessel they were using, a container for using to take that bread or fruit of the vine, was not listed. It was not given. But they were given the opportunity to be that worshiper of God in spirit and in truth as they partook of it in this way. Think about our singing for just a minute in this regard. As I was mentioning last Sunday night, I believe, in the lesson study, I was mentioning in regard to how that we have such a variety of songs that are led for us and we join in to sing. The variety of songs that deal with the Lord Himself, deal with the blood of Christ, deal with our hope of salvation, deal with the home of the soul in heaven itself. All types of arrangements are being done. I remember Brother Jeff Coates saying once upon a time that he knew 13 different melodies for Amazing Grace, sung throughout the world, throughout various countries of the world, to a different kind of sound of melody. But it still was Amazing Grace that was being sung. Well, when you and I sing these songs, if we find ourselves just more concerned about the melody and the sound that's going up, and we just listen. And that's what has happened to many congregations, even in our local area, it seems. There are congregations that have given brethren in that congregation whom they deem to be better voices than others a special microphone. As they sing in that congregation, these individuals turn the microphone on and they sing. Naturally, it has a greater sound to it. Naturally, it bounces off the walls and off the roof. Naturally, it's heard better. And I've had people to tell me, "I really enjoy the service now. I enjoy the singing so much better." And when I were to ask the question, "Do you join in?" it was like I asked, "Do you join in?" I wouldn't let, one said, my voice be heard screeching where others are singing such a wonderful melody. And I ask, is that the way that Paul identified the singing in Ephesians 5 at 19, in Colossians 3 in verses 16 and 17, when he said, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody on a microphone above the sound of others to identify others with a melodious sound? He said, sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. Each individual is responsible to God. As we sing and worship, we bow before the Lord. If we can sing a bass note, then fine. If we can sing a tenor note, fine. Or alto or lead note, fine. Or if we can sing, as my grandmother taught me one day when I went up to her house, and she said, "I want to teach you today to sing blend." And I said, "Well, now, Grandma, I know about the alto and the bass and the soprano and the tenor." She said, "Blend are the notes between those key notes. Not everybody leads singing so that everybody else can sing. Some sing too high and some sing way too low. And that's where she said it. And she said, but when I teach you to blend, you can blend in with every one of the song leaders. Whether it's higher than their voices could be or lower than your voice would ever go, you can sing the blend of it. And I find myself doing that a lot of times, especially when there's five verses to a song. I'll sing one verse in regard to soprano, and I'll sing one verse in regard to tenor, and I'll sing one verse in regard to alto, and I'll sing one verse in regard to bass, and that fifth verse, I'll sing blend. And blend are the notes between those particular high note and low notes, and it really works well, and you can sing along with and enjoy that song and enjoy your worship to God without being too high that you can't reach it or too low you can't reach it either. What note did the Lord say we would use as we sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord? Did he give the sound of the note to be made? Or did he say, do this in your worship to God, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord? It pleases God when we worship him, and as we do worship him, if we blend, if everybody blends, it'll be a wonderful sound, wonderful way to go, wonderful way to do, because we can do that. And we begin to think about the Lord more than we think about how this sounds to others. Up in the state of Kentucky back many years ago, along the way, when instrumental music was first brought in among members of the church and became later on a part of the Disciples of Christ and the Christian Church movement time, there were those who were wanting to do that because of their criticism of the screeching of the brethren as they sang the hymns. They felt like the melodeon, which was a little small organ, would be brought in and utilized in a sound, and it would be better than the screeching of the brethren as they sang. Well, they screeched in that way because they had not. The grandma that I had was teaching about how to blend and how to work the blend in my voice. And it's the worship of God that would be done. And they got away with it. And later on, they took it downstairs in the church buildings, and they worked with the young people in that regard. When the young people grew up, guess what they brought up the stairs with them? The instrument of music. To be used. What instrument is described there in Ephesians 5 and verse 19? Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The only instrument involved is the instrument of my heart. Does it reach higher than the roof of this building? It better. Because from my heart, that's what the Lord is listening to as we sing and make melody to one another. We make melody in our heart to the Lord. Wonderful blessing it is to be in his house and be a part of the worship service with you tonight, and to look at some specific things that we need to be doing, as well as some general principles that he taught us that this would work and it worked well for us. Instead of there being division in the church and brought about by division ways, it would have been avoided if we simply had been concerned about our worship to God more so than our enjoyment of the sound with one another. There are many congregations in various states these days that have changed over completely from the worship that we enjoy here and that we practice here, and are determined to continue on practicing with the idea in mind of praising God as we sing and as we pray and as we meditate upon His Word and being the people that God would have us to be, instead of going another way in which we find ourselves, like others, changing a course in order to get away with it with the generation in which we live. Let's think about that. And as we sing this song of encouragement tonight that's been selected for us, think about our relationship to God. And if you need to come to Jesus as we stand together and sing, we encourage you to come to Him. Be obedient to the gospel of Christ as you read of in Acts 2 and Acts 22:16, when Saul of Tarsus was told by the gospel preacher Ananias, "Brother Saul, why tarriest thou? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." You can do that tonight and begin that new way of life as we stand together and let us sing together.
All things are ready. Come to the feast. Come for the table now. Spread ye famishing, ye weary, come and thou shalt be richly fed. Come feast upon.